Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and this is Carl from ISF and Films and Stuff, and nice to have you with us for our commentary watch. Today we're doing an LGBTQ commentary watch on But I'm a Cheerleader. And, of course, here with me is my co-patriot and co-host and big fan of this movie, Miss Rachel. Hello, Miss Rachel.
Hello, nerd. I will probably be saying a lot of that. Yes, I will probably be saying a lot of that in this movie because not only does it feature Natasha Lyonne, which everybody knows I have a raging lady boner for, there's some other really great people, some really great characters, some really great actors, a hilarious storyline. Of course, this is John Waters. So you know it's going to be deliciously twistedly bent, and of course, it's going to be just bitingly hilarious and wonderful. And I only recently, in the past few years, saw this movie for the first time. And of course, I fell in love. Not only because, yay, you know, early mid-aughts, mid-90s, Natasha Lyonne is just one of my cups of tea. Let me tell you, Earl Grey with some cream in it, that woman is. There is basically nothing that I can find wrong with this movie, and I am so excited. We did not get to do this last year, so we're getting to do it this year. I think Carl's just trying to cheer me up, so.
Yeah, actually, that's part of it, too. You know, we have had, let's just say, a couple of not-so-good days lately, and we'll be talking about that after laughing our ass off on this film, because we'll do that. We've got something very special to announce at housekeeping. So any other thing you want to talk about the film, Ms. Rachel?
Well,
before
I do
we start?
Want to say that, again, this is something we're doing for Pride Month. So if you're not an ally or a fan, then step right the fuck off and we don't need to hear from you. We are doing this for our friends and loved ones in the community. And again, this is just one of the best movies that I can think of that really acerbically and very wittily confront a lot of queer issues. And John Waters has always been great at that in the most subversive of ways. So you got to go with it.
Absolutely.
Oh, wait,
and
no,
for me,
I don't
have a man boner for Bud Cort, but I love him nonetheless, and he's wonderful in this film. And you'll really
absolutely
enjoy it. Okay, so Rachel,
yeah,
why don't you count us down? Now, just to let everyone know, this is streaming on Canopy and various things, but both, we don't have any of those. So we have it on rental.
It is streaming on a number of things like Peacock, which I absolutely refuse to have. Fuck Peacock. We'll talk about that later. But no, I will not do Peacock. I'm sorry. So no matter what, no Peacock here. It is on Amazon for rental for $3.99, which is your basic price. So that's what we're doing because we're still boycotting the other service we used to love. I wasn't even going to mention the name, but yeah, we're still boycotting the Russian service. So I've got mine pulled up to double aughts on Amazon right now.
So do I.
All right. So am I going to count us in?
Do a count of five and then go.
All right. We know how this goes, everybody. And so here we are. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And alcohol use, foul language, nudity, sexual content, smoking, and violence. My kind of movie. If it doesn't have a disclaimer like that, I don't want to fucking see it. I mean, it's kind of like how I knew The Boys was going to be great when the first thing I saw was, like, the disclaimer for the show, and it was the most intense disclaimer I'd ever seen in my life. I was like, yeah, this is going to be a good one. Oh, Clea DuVall. How can you not fucking love her? She's so delightfully weird.
Okay, so I must say it's an interesting soundtrack, but I've never been a big fan of the soundtrack. This is not exactly my style. Bud Cort. Now, we're getting feedback. Go ahead.
I'm personally, like, I love the soundtrack.
I think that's because you're a 90s girl. I'm not.
I really am. Wait, you're not a girl? Carl, is there something we need to talk about?
No, well, actually, you know, I do have my gold lame, but that's for very special things. And I'm a big fan of Kathy Moriarty, too, and Mink Stole.
There's my girl. Oh, yes. Young high school love. Can't believe you're leaving. I'm only going a couple of hours before you are.
Yeah. I wasn't there for high school love. Trust me. I love her look.
Yeah, that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If there was somebody that ham-faced kissing me, I would be fantasizing about literally anything else, too.
Yeah, really.
Like, she might even not even really be a lesbian yet. It's just, have you kissed somebody like that before? Because I have. That's enough to really make you question.
Yes. Agreed. And there he is. There's my buddy. There's Bud.
I just love this movie.
So, of course, Bud Cort, we know him from Harold and Maude, and we know him when he was very young doing Brewster McCloud. But he's been in a lot of things a lot of people don't realize, like Casino. And so many things, but one of my favorite roles of his is in The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. He has the best line in it by far.
Am I the only one that actually thought that dinner looked really fantastic, by the way? I could just be hungry, but that traditional, you know, carrots, potatoes, green peas, which are like my... Carrots and green peas and potatoes are like three of my favorite things in the whole world. So that right there, I was like, damn.
Okay, the hairnet is a little odd.
No, that's what people used to do to keep their hair up and coiffed and shit. Like, I was in the emergency room all night last night, and let me tell you that once it hits about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and you know somebody's like, baby woke them up in the middle of the night because they were sick, like, you would be surprised at the amount of women I saw in there with, like, hairnets and satin hair masks on and stuff, because you got to keep that hair popping.
Having 30 donuts.
Yep. But they're true.
Okay, you're lucky.
They don't eat donuts.
Yeah, really.
Oh, yeah. I'm lucky if I take my hair out of the bun I put it in to go to sleep in. Like, sure. I fix my hair. I take it from a ponytail to a bun sometimes. Woo!
Do.
And that's part of it too, you know. I mean, when you're this your age, you have lots of questions.
Yeah, and when people don't answer your questions in positions of power, it tends to turn you away from those things.
Exactly.
The zoning, I guess. God, this movie. The Strait is great.
Yeah, the interesting thing about the parents, and the I think they're trying to be good, but they're misguided.
They're misguided by religion, honestly.
Yes.
And not that religion is bad, and not that all, you know, denominations of even Christianity are bad, but there are some that will blindly lead you to do really hurtful things to those that you love.
Yes.
And that's what I think a lot of people fail to consider anymore is that, you know, the whole point of this Christianity thing was to basically just be good people to everybody.
Well, you know, that's
not
the thrust of most religions. I mean, you take a look at Jewish and Muslim, which are the three major religions out of the Middle East. They all say the same thing, basically, in their text. You know, which is basically a variation on the golden rule.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the deal, is most religions are based on that. I mean, Jesus Christ, even Satanism is like, do what you can to help other people, but also help yourself. But, yeah,
right.
Do no harm.
And of course, what you're...
That's literally,
of course,
you know, one of the first...
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, you didn't go through the satanic panic in the 80s like I did, and I was at the age. But, you know, people pervert religion into what they think it is, you know, and what they're against. Nowadays, you mentioned the Church of Satan. It's basically to poke out the eye of conservative Christians. That's why they're there. Even the guy that runs it says, we don't believe in Satan. We're just here to be a pain in the ass to other religions that we feel that are too restrictive.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Melissa Etheridge, she's definitely gay.
Okay, so this is a bunch of bullshit, of course.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the sad thing is, I know people that have had to go through shit like this, and I have been fighting for a future that my child doesn't have to worry about things like this.
Right, and it's unfortunate. You know, there's no, you know, the thing about me is always acceptance of the other, and I was an other, okay? I mean, you know.
Oh, I've always been other.
Yeah, same here.
Cheerleaders eating donuts. Dear Penthouse, no kidding.
Yeah.
There I was.
And why, you know, what really bothers me is why not acceptance? You know, when we talk about conversion therapy, and the conversion therapy here is very light compared to what it is in reality. It just boggles my mind. It truly does. You know, one of the things that I love about the podcast and the people involved in the podcast, my friends, and that is we're all different. And we're all part of some sort of weird subset. And that's a good thing. They're my tribe, as I like to call them.
Yeah. Well, I can just say this from absolute fact. Nobody I know that's been to conversion therapy has it ever, ever worked on, ever. And
no.
I know a lot of people.
And by the way, we have to say hello to Kathy Moriarty in pink.
Yep.
And, of
okay.
course, this is absolutely
to...
Go ahead.
I have to step away for just a moment, guys, but I'm going to stick Jeremy on the line for any commentary for a moment.
Okay.
Hi,
Jeremy.
I will be right back.
Howdy, howdy.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, what's up?
So we're watching, but I'm a cheerleader. And so Natasha Lyonne there is just basically taken to conversion therapy because she has a picture of Melissa Etheridge in her locker.
Yeah, I saw this once not too long after it had come out. So, yeah, I found it very interesting in the fact – and at the time that I was watching it, I was a member of an Assembly of God church. So
Ooh.
It was like, yeah.
I did not realize
a lot of what they're saying,
ALG.
A lot of what they're saying, I would get, you know, while I was at the church, and I'm like, you guys are so freaking wrong.
Yeah. No, I did not realize you were AOG. I have a very close friend of mine that was AOG that turned his back on the church.
Oh, I didn't realize this person was in it. The crazy neighbor from Two Men and a Dude.
Oh, okay. Two and a Half Men.
Two and a Half Men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know a lot of these actors. I know a lot of the older actors, of course. Fucking. So this is the whole idea about conversion therapy to begin with is sort of like an AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, is the way they set it up here. That's not the way most conversion therapy are. There's a lot of a lot of abuse involved and things like that. Now, I'm actually into her.
What, the one that likes pain?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
I
always kind of wanted the goth chick, too.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I actually had a relationship with a woman with a red mohawk. It was wondrous. Only lasted for about 3 months, but goddamn.
Hey, that was the kid that was in Hook.
Oh, right, okay.
I forget which one, but... The one that was the leader of the Lost Boys when Peter Pan had gone away.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, the one with the crazy mohawk and all that.
Mm-hmm. No. So one of the things when I was younger, and I was in Bradford, there was a gentleman that was part of the community theater who's a very close friend of mine, Rich Wandle. And Rich was gay, and... And talking to him and becoming very, very close to him and having a short relationship with him, it really opened my eyes to, you know, what the politics, because he was part of GAA before he came to Bradford in like 73. But, you know, I always felt ostracized in terms of, you know, having braces and being not a jock and how people treated me in high school and middle school because I was different. And then I realized there are other people that went through it too, maybe not exactly the same way I did. They're there. And the thing is, she doesn't know yet. She's still trying to figure it out.
Talk about peer pressure.
Yeah, tell me about it. And that's part of it, too. Maybe it's because you're all assholes.
Yeah.
I mean, really? This is, yeah, she's happy about it. Exactly.
That's kind of one of those disgusting smiles, though. It's like you've just realized something you don't want to realize about yourself. Yeah, see? And it quickly turns into crying.
Yeah.
Slobber.
You know, and it's all about what society judges you to be. That's what this movie's about, more than anything else. It's what society judges you to be.
Yeah.
Is she back now?
Nope, she's going in and out, having to grab things to go and do this, because, yeah.
She's a macaroni.
No, she's not back now. Yeah, she's doing the macaroni and... She's making a roux and then letting me finish everything. I didn't
even
know a roux was involved. So.
Well, roux are easy.
She's also watching the movie, but.
Actually, she's right about that. Maybe you have the wrong friends.
Mm-hmm. The hell? Watering fake plants? Oh,
yeah.
Cleaning them off. Never mind. Took me a second. My very sick kid. Yeah, Rachel says in her defense, her very sick kid was asking for birthday macaroni today.
Yeah, well, I know that. We talked about that, and that's fine. And we're supposed to chug it like a man.
Then when he finished chugging it, yeah, he chugged it like he was just finishing a BJ.
Right.
There.
Yeah, you know, and it's the sense of isolation too. She's with other people, but she's still extremely isolated.
She's the one that likes pain, and she's doing her aversion therapy.
Yeah, and they do that. Do not kid yourself. You know, the whole idea about conversion therapy, what it is really torture. And let's not...
Oh, yeah, I know. But that one particular character puts a pretty good spin on the whole aversion therapy because, you know, since they like pain, they're going to like the aversion therapy.
Right, exactly.
So it's almost an opposite situation.
Oh, yeah, and of course, how much money does this, do they get out of this? Because I don't think there's been a one person that's really been converted through all of this. And that's the whole point.
Yeah, no, they've just learned to act. They've just learned to act normal.
Well, you know, you take a look at the history of we did a show with Adam on the history of television and gay characters. And the first real sitcom that had a recurring gay couple that showed them in a positive light was Barney Miller. And I mean, you had the character on Soap, and you had a couple of plot lines on All in the Family. But you know, that the whole thing here is I can't remember really seeing a gay teen until much, much later. And this was really one of the first films out there that dealt with it from a teen perspective. And from, you know, and in a lot of ways, even though this is a fun film and it is a comedy, it still touches on a lot of shit. And it's stereotypical male things they're doing, of course, which mean nothing, right?
Clueless.
You know, I mean, in high school, I don't know how many times I was called faggot. Double naked. That's a root.
I was born in France. Is a root for their homosexuality. Okay. Wait, traumatic wrist. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So for people that don't know what wrist is, basically you're a newborn and somebody snips you. You know, that would be the moil, by the way. I was part of a bris. But yeah. The nice thing is when the moil comes in to snip, all the men there that are looking at basically cover their crotch.
Yeah. It's like, ooh. Well,
yeah,
that was when
exactly.
I can't remember. All right. And we shall return to Rachel. Woo-hoo.
Yay.
Thank you,
Jeremy.
I'm back, my bisexual bitches. Yes, and now he's going to finish the macaroni for me. So that's right.
So maybe you should just give us the quick, since we're talking about macaroni, birthday macaroni, what are you doing for your birthday macaroni? Give us the recipe.
You always add extra cheese, by the way. So use all of that bag and at least 2 to 3 cups of that. Okay, so I don't know if you heard that, but yeah, always got to put extra cheese in it. Birthday macaroni is where we make macaroni, and then I make a bechamel sauce, you know, just basic butter, flour, roux, and then condense it or, you know, dilute it down with milk and everything. I'm sorry. This is one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, God.
A lot of it. Yeah, so, and then after that, you know, you make the bechamel with the milk and everything. I didn't have any heavy whipping cream to use today, so I had a block of cream cheese that I put some hot bacon jam on the other day.
Okay.
And I just used that in place of, like, heavy whipping cream. So I'm going to have some, like, hot chili bacon jam flavor and a little bit of macaroni. And then, yeah, you just make a cheese sauce with whatever different cheeses you want. Melt it into the milk mixture. And yeah, into your bechamel.
You
and then, yeah, bake it with some breadcrumbs and butter on top. Make a little paprika, parmesan. There you go. Birthday macaroni. So called because I usually only go all out and make macaroni like that for people's birthdays.
I so miss doing that right now. I'm on a special diet because I'm having some issues. It's a lovely thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, sorry I had to leave you guys momentarily, but I tried to relinquish and give up the reins, but I don't trust anybody else to make a roux properly.
Well, I come to visit, you won't have to worry.
Well, yeah, no, I would trust you to do it, Carl, but, you know, I tend to find men in my life that don't have a lot of cooking skill before I come into their lives, so... Yes, I will say that you know, he's in the background yelling, but I can cook. And I'm like, yes, you can cook. But if I told you to sit down and make a roux right now, you totally couldn't do that. So, yeah. I can trust him to melt cheese into a sauce, though. So. Yes, my eldest is going to be turning 13 in 4 days, and I can't believe where the time has gone. And part of the reason I'm doing the commentary on this movie tonight is particularly because the other side of their family is not comfortable with their LGBTQ status. So were I not here to prevent it from happening, this is exactly the kind of place my kid would end up in.
Well, you know, let's, you know, I think you have a very special thing to say about Ree, you know, in terms of, you know, who they are and so on and so forth, and how being a supportive parent is important for somebody in the LGBTQ community, because so many parents are not. So if you want to talk about that a little bit.
And unfortunately for me, it is a painful topic to talk about, not because of anything. I don't have any problems with my kid. It's because of what I see them having to go through with their other family. My kid, you know, is at first came out as a lesbian, but has decided over the past couple of years that they're actually non-binary, and they're really not romantically interested in anybody at this point. I mean, holy God. Just like they're supposed to be. They're 13. Okay. But seeing what they've had to deal with really affects me. And having that support on my end is, I know for a fact, the reason my kid's not dead right now. And that's no lie. It's earlier and earlier that these children are basically being made to feel that they are other, that they are wrong, that there is something inherently bad about them that they cannot change, and they don't want to hurt people like that. They don't want to be like that, and so they decide to take themselves out of the equation. Mm-hmm. And that's not something you can usually come back from. And if you do, you never come back the same. And I have been fighting for a really long time to make sure that my kids don't have to grow up in a world like that.
And I would think actually you're going to be fighting that fight for a long time.
I know that I am. And I prepared that myself for that when I had kids. I prepared myself for the fact that my kids may decide one day that they're gay, which my eldest child did. And I'm okay with that because I want my kid here. I don't care, you know, who they are or what, you know, I do care who they are, but I don't care who they love or how they feel about things like that because I just want to love my kid. I want my kid to be here. I don't want my kid to take themselves out of the equation because they don't feel like they belong, because they do. They belong here with me and their family.
You know,
but so many kids
we want
don't
to go
get
back.
That.
You know, to go back to one of our other watches this month, which was V for Vendetta, that whole segment of the actress and how she grew up and how her parents disowned her. You know, there's so much of that of rejection within the LGBTQ, particularly for teens that are just coming out, where wherein the family rejects them, and not only is that unfortunate, I really believe it's morally wrong.
I do
because
too.
The idea,
I really do.
You know, and unfortunately, you know. I had issues with my parents, but it wasn't really about that, but they were supportive in terms of they protected me as much as they could. I think they went overboard with that. But that's part of it too. You know, I think we all have to grapple with issues with parents. Now, this is an interesting relationship, by the way. I like this relrelationship. And I like this actor.
Yeah.
I don't know who she is.
Well, I've seen her in some stuff before. She's really like a 90s actress.
Right.
I love her to death. I just love this whole movie.
You know,
the whole thing where they're trying to show her how to be You what?
The ages, like what, you know, Natasha looks really, really young here.
She is really, really young in that one. You can tell.
So how old was she when she did this? She looked like 15 years old.
I think she was 18 or 19. And I just love this whole montage where they're trying to teach them all how to be, like, proper men's and proper ladies. And, you know, I've actually gotten better makeup tips from drag queens than I have from women before, and I know how to properly tie a tie better than most of my male counterparts, so just saying.
Now she's realizing it.
Yep.
And actually, you know, that's one thing about conversion therapy, particularly for teens. It has the exact opposite effect.
Yeah, it usually does.
It confirms it as opposed to negates it.
And that's actually a lot of what I've learned is that conversion therapy is not effective in the fucking slightest.
No. Yeah.
You start to see
Go ahead. Go ahead.
The fucking nightgowns.
Yes.
I can't even. You know how uncomfortable those things are to sleep in.
Pink and blue, by the way, if you haven't noticed.
Well, of course, because we have to stick to defined gender roles, which makes you wonder, why is the matriarch here wearing a blue robe?
Yeah. Well, actually, it sort of looks like a greenish robe. You know, sort of like
the
twin.
Well, it is. It's like a greenish blue, but if she's going to stick to these like super defined gender roles like this, come on now, let's do this damn thing.
You're running low on battery.
Right.
But I was going to bring that up. She, you know, when you snitch on somebody.
Yeah.
You know.
Snitches get stitches.
No, not a good thing.
No. And that's actually something that I've been interested in. Like, I hear a lot of stories about tattling and stuff and how, and I really appreciate this, when a kid comes and tattles for some dumb shit.
Right.
Like, I'll get mad at the kid that tattles. Like, dude, that was unnecessary. You are literally just being a bitch to be a bitch.
Yeah.
And you know, tattling is not necessary. Telling when somebody is going to hurt themselves or somebody else, that's necessary. But tattling, we don't do that in this family. If you're just trying to be a brat and get somebody in trouble, then that somebody's going to be you.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're in a family like I was the youngest. And my two older siblings basically hated each other. So, yeah. And I was caught in the middle. I was the DMZ zone. So I constantly, mm-hmm. if we're in the car and they're hitting each other, of course, who gets most of the hits? Me!
You're in the middle, of course.
I literally have no control.
Move. Sorry, there's a kid running through here real quick.
Move away from the
thing. Yeah. Oh, they will, I'm sure. Okay, and that is a really salacious color of pink for her satin bedding,
yeah.
By the way. Do it.
So, you know, the thing about this film is its intentions are serious, but the way that they present it is amusing. And I think it's one of the best ways to get around what you're dealing with here. Right?
Oh, I love these guys. I forgot about them.
Oh, I did too.
Hi, I'm Larry Morgan Gordon, and this is Lloyd Morgan Gordon. The Underground Homo Railroad. I like that the bar is just called Cocksucker.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but a bunch of girls that are in homo camp are definitely not going to be in a comfortable in a place called Cocksucker.
No.
God, my lady looks so young in this movie. I just can't get over it. And I love how low they have music and bars in movies like this. I'm like, I have never been to a gay bar where I could hear people. Are you fucking kidding me?
Okay, talking about gay bars, just remember that in 3 days, we're doing a commentary watch on Cruising, which I'm not exactly happy about, but I sort of got pummeled into doing it. And that's going to be with Robert Walker Jr. Pat Crane and my former podcast partner, Stephen Ronquillo. Ooh.
You like the blonde on the left, don't you? Because she's got eyes like Shelley Duvall.
Oh, Oscar, fuck it. I just noticed that. And yes, I caught that myself.
I know you, Carl. I fucking know you. Like, seriously. I saw that and I was like, he normally wouldn't like a cute blonde with pigtails like that, but she's got eyeballs like Shelley Duvall. If she had the teeth to match, he'd be going at the screen right now.
Well, you know, I think we should make this clear. I do consider myself part of the LGBTQ community. I guess you would call me primarily straight, but I also have no compunction in terms of the relationship I had earlier, and it's all about intelligence for me and for being outside
exactly.
the norm.
Right? Dude,
there is
a name no
for
more
that,
succinct way to say it, Carl. There's no succinct way to say it, more succinct way to say it than love is love, okay? You love who you love. That's what it's supposed to be all about, okay?
Right.
Nothing else should matter. You love who you love. And as long as you're both, you know, making each other stable or better people, it's a great thing. Everybody deserves that opportunity in their lives.
Just remember this. When I was homeless, who took me in? It was Richard.
Yeah.
You know, let's not forget that. And that's
like,
one of the greatest things.
Who cared for you and loved you in a way that nobody else could? Just because
right.
it happened to be somebody of the same, you know, biological or, you know, whatever sex that you are, just because it happened to be someone of the same supposed affiliation doesn't mean that it was wrong.
No, not at all.
It just means that it was different than some people. I mean, my neighbors next door are married. I'm not yet.
Mm-hmm.
I live with my partner and our children, and that's okay. I don't get mad at my neighbors for being married. They don't get mad at me for being unmarried and having kids out of wedlock and things like that. So, love is love. You love who you love, and the heart wants what the heart wants. I mean, let's go for, like, run the gamut on the stupid played idioms there, but they're cliche for a reason. It's funny because it's true, you know?
Oh, I like this.
Yeah.
I had a very good friend of mine who was gay, who was one of our customers at Carl Fisher. And when I was there, a good 60 to 70% of our customers up in the Choral Band and Orchestra department were gay. But Rusty used to come over, knew I wasn't making a lot of money, and would come out and take me out to dinner, and then we'd end up at either a gay bar or more than likely a drag bar. And I had a blast. I had a fucking blast.
Well, you know, I, as a young, vulnerable female, used to really, really enjoy my time at gay clubs and drag bars. Now, I always went as an escort with a friend because I didn't want to offend people there, being a semi-straight person. Of course, you know, I wasn't as blatant with my bisexuality as I am now. But I was always more comfortable there because people were looking out for you.
Yes.
And, you know, they were looking out for you. I knew personally I wasn't going to be hit on. And if I was, I could just be like, hey, this dude's trolling the ladies, kick him out of the bar. I mean, and that was a safe space for me. And it definitely, I think, encouraged me to come out more because those were the safe spaces. You know, you grow up in the Deep South like I did, hearing all of this crazy shit that these are, you know, violent, dangerous places and people get raped and there's drugs and all this stuff. And no, I've never felt safer in a bar than I did in a gay bar or at a drag show.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite stories is I was a substitute organist for many, many years when I was here in New York City. And I ended up doing a couple of Sundays at Metropolitan Church. And Metropolitan Church is the gay church. They now have several of them. And one of our guests, Kittredge Cherry, who's been on the show, I was hoping to get her on this year, but was on last Pride Month. She is one of the national people of the Metropolitan Church organization. But I was there, and the priest, who was a former Episcopalian lady priest who was gay, just basically said, this is our substitute organist. Guys, he's gay. So he's not gay. So please don't hit on him, okay? And she said that from the pulpit. I loved it.
That is awesome. Oh, dear.
Recruiters. We all are.
I mean, yeah. That's Clea DuVall, and she does not get nearly enough credit for being the, like, secondary character in every weird 90s movie ever.
Yeah, now I don't think I've ever seen her. I'm going to look her up on IMDb right now. Okay.
Oh, yeah, she's in all kinds of stuff.
That last name, aren't you? So it's Clea DuVall.
DuVall.
Got it. Oh, she's in The Faculty. I remember her from that.
Oh, God, yeah, I love that movie. And she always wears, like, weird little chokers in her roles. That was, like, a super 90s thing, and I loved it.
Okay, she's now in Housebroken. She was in The Handmaid's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
Beep. She's doing rather well, actually. Better
yeah.
Call Saul. The Lizzie Borden Chronicles.
I think
she was Emma in that. Okay.
Oh, she was Lizzie's sister.
She was in American Horror Story.
Yep.
And lots of TV stuff.
Yeah, lots and lots of TV stuff.
She was in Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Carnival. Damn.
Yeah, I love her. And like I said, she does not get nearly enough credit for how awesome she actually is. Because if you notice, a lot of her roles aren't just like, you know, a one-time appearance. They're multiple-time appearances.
No, she was in Ghost of Mars. She was in Girl Interrupted. But I'm sure the astronaut's wife. Damn.
Yep. That girl is banging it. And people don't realize. I mean, she is really, really killing it. Wasn't she? No, I don't think she was the one I'm thinking of. I was thinking one of the Final Destination movies, but no, I don't think she was in one of those.
No, she wasn't. I didn't see that.
But still, she's always been that quiet, like, secondary character. But she's usually the one that really helps, like, she's the catalyst. She's always the catalyst. She pushes the plot along without ever changing.
Right. Yeah, you see, that's the thing. They're not adding on to it.
Nope. Oh, they're so wonderful together.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. You know, positive representation in film and TV of gay couples. And this actually reminds me of the gay couple that I mentioned earlier on Barney Miller. But I mean, you go back to the 60s, a lot of it was still self-hatred. You know, you look at the boys in the band and so on and so forth. And you look at the homosexuals and the gay people, you know, at that point called homosexuals in the early 70s on TV. And it was like, they were either the villains or they were being blackmailed or whatever the case, but they were a victim and it wasn't positive. It wasn't until the mid 70s to really the mid 80s. And we talk about, you know, non-binary characters, and the first non-binary character really in television was Tim Camerson in Quirk.
Sorry, I had to laugh at that whole scene. I just
Oh yeah. And Kathy Moriarty is just so good. She's really good in this.
I don't
know who this black guy. That's RuPaul, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I still haven't seen Mink Stole yet.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's RuPaul AF.
There's a movie that I was looking for. Unfortunately, it's not streaming. There's a very little known film called Who is Cletus Tout, where RuPaul is playing RuPaul plays the neighbor who's a drag queen, and just really good with to Christian Slater, and then of course Tim Allen plays a hitman who's obsessed with films and that. It's just wild. Funny, funny damn film.
That's a determined group.
Uh-oh. Aww. No. No, that's actually kind of sad.
So sweet.
It's actually, you know, firm and luscious. Okay, so we are playing with stereotypes here. Keep that in mind. That's the thing. This movie has a part number of place. Right.
Aww. God, those blankets look so uncomfortable, by the way.
Yeah, they do. They do. So we should talk about snacks. What do you have for snacks?
Well, right now I'm just drinking some margaritas, and they're like low-alcohol canned margaritas, and waiting on the birthday macaroni. I do have a random assortment of Asian snacks that I got yesterday, but I'm not eating any of them right now because I'm really excited about the macaroni. Oh, how sweet.
No. So one thing I do have to say about the actors here, and particularly the actresses, is they're being very, this is very brave in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a wonderful thing.
Oh, I do too.
You know, I think what it comes down to for anyone is be who you are, not what they expect you to be or not what they want you to be.
Be who you want to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think if we all look at it that way, you know, and that goes for, you know, if you want to be, you know, anti-gay, you know, and that, I mean, I don't agree with that, but at least, you know, if you do not hurt anyone else with that, then I can respect you. But if I see prejudice and that sort of thing, I feel that's wrong. Because my feeling is one of the big things I get from my religion is judge not, lest you be judged.
Yeah.
People forget about.
Yeah.
And if you judge someone for being gay and you think gay is a sin, guess what? You're doing as much sin as they are.
Yep. Well, especially
that ain't your job.
God made us all in his image, and, you know, judge not lest ye be judged, but also let he who is without sin cast the first stone.
Exactly. This is a really nice relationship, too.
It really is. Don't you think that I'm just jealous that you might actually love something? That's just so pretty.
What? What?
No.
Oh. And it's just like, what the fuck?
You have a chance to save yourself. You know what? You want to save yourself? Get the fuck out of there. Seriously.
Run off with Megan and become a raging bull dyke. I'm all for it.
Absolutely. I have a very close friend of mine. We haven't really kept in touch in the last couple of years, but Lorene was one of our band directors in very rural northern Pennsylvania, very redneck area. And mm-hmm. I could tell right away she was gay, but we got along famously. She once said to me, if she were straight or if I was a girl, we would be married. We got along so well. And the thing is, you get to a point where you can see the differences and embrace those differences and support the people who are different like you. I believe there's a meme that says, you know, let your freak flag fly because then you'll get the other freaks around you. And I believe that. Yeah. God knows we have some of the most interesting people on DLN, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
The most interesting people.
Yes, interesting. And, of course, you know, you bring up Bugs Bunny, you know.
Of course I do.
We're talking about a cross-dressing rabbit.
And I tell you. Yeah, those were some of my favorites, like all of the cross-dressing episodes I just loved. But that's who could teach me how to be a lesbian.
No, see, that's the thing.
I love his rainbow jam jams.
Yes! Aw, that's a great couple.
Oh. God, I can't get over how young she looks. Both of them.
She's really... I love the fake leaves.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. Yay.
God. Thank you. Now, the one guy was on Family was Bull on Night Court. That's Night Court.
Mm-hmm. I love his
so last year we did we did the Christopher Guest movie about the dogs, and there's a scene in there where there's a gay couple
Best in Show,
and there's a gay couple arguing about how many kimonos to take on their vacation. I actually saw that in real life. Seriously, I'm not joking. And I love how they're playing this.
Oh, the lotus flower there. Yeah, fig leaves and lotus flowers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I like how he's going left and right.
Yeah. Now, I've never been through conversion therapy, but I don't think this would be part of real conversion therapy.
No, it is.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They do actually make you stimulate having sex with the opposite sex. And a lot of times it's worse than that because they will use, you know, shock therapy and things to make negative
right.
associations.
Right.
Yeah. Aww. Sad. See, I like that. She's scared and she's maybe making the wrong choice, but it's her wrong choice to make. And sometimes we just have to walk away. Well, the best fucking part of the movie. God,
yeah.
They're wearing all these horrible dresses.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like very 80s fashion almost.
Okay. I remember this part of this. This is absolutely.
Oh, this is the best. I love the blue vinyl suit.
Just remember, if you graduate, that doesn't mean you learn anything. All right?
Yeah. Thank you. Tell me about it. I know too many people who graduated high school couldn't
didn't know
graduate
anything.
Themselves out of a paper bag if they tried.
I love the camouflage. And a lot of this for teens too is they want parental they don't want to disappoint their parents and they want support. And if the parents aren't supporting them, then they do this and fake being who they're not. And that's not healthy. It's not.
No. Oh, absolutely not. Pork off chick. God, these dresses are awful.
Yeah.
Perfect costuming, but so awful. If you've ever worn a fabric like that, you would understand. It is. Oh, hell yeah. Aww. She's like, oh, fuck. Uh-oh. Said she wanted to see her cheer.
This is one of the best endings to a film I've ever seen. I love this. You know,
ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it. I know it's a little oven. Hell yeah. This makes me so happy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Even better than the boombox scene and Say Anything.
I like that.
That was, like, seriously the worst attempt at cheering I've ever seen, but, yeah, it was still adorable. She just books it.
This is great.
Oh, so sweet.
Yeah.
And there you have it. That was But I'm a Cheerleader. Well, yeah.
So,
why is
that rated R? Okay, hold on.
Yep.
There's Mick Stoll. I love that he's the one that gets up at the end, of course. This is a feel-good movie, and I think we need to have that right now. So I'm so glad that you suggested this.
Yes, and I am too, because I needed that as well. It's been a rough, definitely a few days, but also a few weeks, months. We're working on it, man.
Yeah, we are. We are. So give us a little more about what you think of the film.
That's what I heard that song.
Well, I think it's a pretty important film. And, yeah. It's hidden behind a lot of silly humor, but a lot of times that's how you get the message across to people.
Right. You know, and the caring of the characters, too, because through this,
yeah.
you get to care about these characters.
Yeah.
And that's a good, you know, and they're human.
Well,
and it's about representation. It's about how film and TV and the public persona is, you know, perception is of the LGBTQ community. And to me, this is one even though it's a little on the manipulative side, this is a really good snapshot of what it is to be a teen and growing up in the community. And it's tough. They don't have it either.
Yeah.
There's no about it.
No, there's not. And especially, you know, our LGBTQ teens, they need a supportive community to grow up in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we talked about Ree a little bit, and you know, it's tough. I mean, I knew in high school, I knew a couple of people that were gay, that I knew were gay, and I was friends with them. You know, I hadn't made a decision at that time. But, you know, to me, people are people. I've always
mm-hmm.
thought about that. I remember getting pushed down and beat up and shit like that. And there was one particular instance where I said, I'm not going to treat anyone like that. I'm going to treat people with respect no matter how different they are from me or from
yeah.
them. And I try to do that every day. Maybe I don't do it as well as I should, but I make the effort at the very least. You know?
Yeah.
And I wish we all could do that. And all could accept each other. But it's never going to happen, but we should strive for it without a doubt.
Absolutely.
So there, mm-hmm. So there you go. So let's talk about housekeeping at this moment. First off, tomorrow, which is Sunday, TC is going to be doing his Ode to Colorado, because he'll be leaving for Colorado and Red Rocks on his yearly jaunt out there. We're going to be doing the show a little early tomorrow, and that will be at 4:00 in the afternoon. So that's what we're going to do on Sunday. Now, I'm going to kick it over to Rachel. And Rachel, why don't you tell us what's happening on Monday? Because this is your
well,
and Vicky's show.
Monday, Vicky and I are going to be hosting a show. Carl will be producing for us. Just talking about some things that have gone on recently with the trash fire that is our Supreme Court and things that we're, as women, very upset and angry about, and we need our voices heard. So tune in on Monday to listen to Two Angry Women Tell You Why You Should Be Mad Too.
Okay, and one thing I do have to say about that show I will be producing. If you take a look, we've got it posted both on my wall, on Rachel's wall, and at the Deviant Legion Facebook page, and here at Blog Talk, that this is a show for women's voices only. If you are male, please listen and learn. But you will not be allowed to call in. I've done a lot of work today in getting the word out, and hopefully, you know, we'll get some people to call in and share their thoughts on it too. But I can also tell you that subsequent podcasts will happen where we do have allies involved that are male, and we'll open it up. But at this point, if you don't have a vagina, you're not welcome to call in tomorrow or on Monday. So just want to make that very, very clear. Okay? And on Wednesday, which is the next to the last day of Pride Month, I sort of got bamboozled, and it's not a film that I really wanted to do a commentary watch on, but between Robert Walker, who we all love, he's been on the show twice now, or a couple, more than that, actually, three times. He's a independent filmmaker out of Long Island. He's done an award-winning short called Sketchy, which is part of the LGBTQ community, and with him and also with Patrick Crane. and my former podcast partner, Stephen Rod Keough, they all wanted to do a watch of Cruising, which I don't think is the best thing to do for LGBTQ Pride Month, but nonetheless, we're going to be doing it. And Patrick and I, if you take a look at our past podcast this month, Patrick and I did a show early in the month on a commentary watch on Windows, which is another not exactly positive view of the LGBTQ. So I was very happy to do this one tonight. This was perfect for us to do tonight. So we're doing that on Wednesday. And I know that we're going to be doing a show on Friday again with Adam. That's going to be on Honeymooners. And I'll probably be on that show. And so that's what we have so far. We got to figure out what we're doing the week from today, because I don't think that TC is going to be back until Sunday. So I think that's I'm not sure if we're going to do a Rachel Ward down the rabbit hole or anything like that. So that's where we are now. Anything else you want to say before we?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, folks, we want to thank you very much for being on being with us today on this commentary watch. But I'm a cheerleader, and we do want to celebrate Pride Month, and we want to make sure that everyone knows that we're very, very supportive of the community. We're part of the community, and we're proud of it. And with that, I'm going to say good night, people. So let's say good night.
Good night, people. Night, bye.
Good night. Bye.